Well, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this great and wondrous trial you put us on. We thank you, Lord, that we made it through with your help. Not only that, Lord, the glorious times that we've had with you during this past week has been awesome. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that because of this, a lot of great things are going to happen. And we just praise you, Father. We look forward to drawing so close to you, Lord, that you just fill every cell in our bodies with yourself. And we praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that many people will be affected by the results of what you've done with your people. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that tonight that you anoint this group with mighty wonders from you, Lord. Words from you, revelations from you, Lord, and testimonies from you, Father. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters that over the years we've grown so close together. And it's just been awesome. Just been a thrill and excitement to come to know people from all over this great land and elsewhere as well. To be our brothers and sisters, Lord, and it's just been awesome. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, all right. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests before we get going here? Now, I got one prayer request. Go ahead, Andrew. I'll wait till you get through.
While the strike happened, but I crossed the line. I figured I should cross the line because Jesus was a brave person in the book of John when he asked them, who are you coming for? And then he said, I am he. And so I crossed the line. But today, you know, that was Monday. That was my last day, of course, and of my fast, too. And it was quite hard on me that day. But today we got a president's message of the university I work for. And in the message, she says that I'm giving everything the union wanted. And I don't know why they're on strike. So someone apparently here is lying. And I would hope that that would be cleared up. Also, wrote a little page here, a paper. Because, you know, sometimes I was thinking about the book of... So I'd like prayer for that, but this is another... secondary issue. I wrote a small paper here because sometimes when you witness to people, they don't seem to hear you. And suddenly the book of Jeremiah came up where someone actually wrote something down on a piece of paper. And a scribe wrote Jeremiah's words and he gave it to the princes of Judah. And they said, this is what happened. And then, and basically in the story, and they said, yeah. And he said, this has to be shown to the king. And of course, that's when the king rejected it. But even some of the princes, because they read it, I guess because they used to read the word a lot, they accepted it. So that's my plan for this piece of paper I wrote out with my handwriting, and I already photocopied, I think 10 photocopies, and I want to leave it in the Lord's hands to who I give that out to in my family, and at what time, and so they would all be new converts, some readjusted from when they actually made I liken it to the first land of the first soil in the parable of the sower, where these people have forgotten and they just have the basic forgiveness gospel. So I've already prayed on that paper, but I just like people to agree with it and any copies that are made of it. And I hope there's a copy chain actually that goes out with it. Anyway, that's what came to me anyway. So thank you, Lord, for using this paper and that I wrote on salvation, the basic salvation message on who they are. And there's just seven examples of seven verses underlining the parts on who they are. And I pray, Lord, that this would work. And you would work with this and show me when to use it. And I thank you, Lord, for doing this, because I already prayed this prayer. I'm just asking for some backup here.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your anointing upon these papers. Father, you can do that. I've seen you do it before. I thank you, Lord, that everyone who reads it are affected by it, and that many converts come because of it. Lord, I thank you for anointing the words on the paper, Lord. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for giving it to Andrew, the words to say, the things that he pointed out, and that people's minds and their lives would be changed because of it. And I praise you, Father, for all the beautiful people going to be brought into the kingdom because of it. Lord, let this thing go throughout wherever. Let it go out and affect many lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for placing in Andrew's heart to do that in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Amen. Praise God. I believe it.
Thanks, I Lord. Actually wrote this paper before the fast.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. It's still anointed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Marla?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for a friend of mine, Jim. We've prayed for him more times over the years. He's had a really hard life. He listens to David all the time, every week, but he can come down with a really, I don't know, flu, or it went on his throat and chest and sinus, and he just got so bad. You know, being out on the road is really hard when you got stuff like that. And he's been hearing David talk about, you know, some people are going to die from this plague and stuff, and he just let fear take over. And he knows that that's wrong, but he let them spirits of fear take over, and doubt and unbelief. So I'd just like to pray for him. Father, we just come against any spirits of rejection, condemnation, doubt and unbelief, fear, lying spirits, deceitful spirits, unforgiving spirits. We just bind up you demons that you're not able to work in Jim. And we ask for healing, Lord. Just command those sinus and throat and chest on Jim to be healed, whether it's virus or bacteria or fungus or mold, whatever it is. We just command you out in Jesus' name and speak healing to Jim. And thank you for what you're going to do in Jim, Lord, and send your ministering angels to minister to him. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Marlon. We believe it's done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jim, you be healed in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, anyone else? How about a test? Yeah, go ahead.
It's Brandy.
Yeah, Brandy.
Hey, I talked to my sister a while ago, Janice. We had prayed for her before. She's the one that, she's got that old COPD, smoked for 40-something years, and she's the one that lost her kidney. if you remember that, we prayed for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, she took one of her kidneys. Well, she, I called her a while ago, and she said that she's having, you know, she has blood in her urine again, and it's not an infection, so she's going in, and she wants to go to the doctor, of course. And so I want to pray for her that, if she doesn't cry out, like, I guess we don't, or I didn't, or she doesn't cry out unless she's in, you know, needing something from the Lord. But I talked to her about crying out to the Lord and what he's done for, you know, she knows what he's done for me, of course. But anyway, I want to pray for her. I want to pray that she, that the, you know, this is the only got, she's only got one kidney left. So, you know, and I'm a match for it. I don't want to give her a kidney, but I will if I have to, but I don't want to, as you know. So I want to pray for her. And I was just like her to believe with me that she, the Lord, has got her attention now and he can do something with her. Okay.
Amen, brother. Go ahead.
We lift up Janice to you, and Lord, we know that you've she's kind of a hard nut, and she's definitely not followed you, or and she just loosely knows you, Lord. I want you to please just bless her with a desire, not out of fear, but a desire for your love to know you and to know your word. And when I send her some testimonies to her tomorrow, set her down and quiet her life where she can understand it and read it and or listen to it, and just bless her mightily with it, Lord. Bless her with faith. And again, just a godly fear. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this for Janice. And Lord, when she reads it, whatever it is that Brandy's going to send to her, let it be anointed words. And not only the anointed words, she's going to call Brandy right back. Brandy, please. Pray the prayer of faith for me. Show me how this works. Lord, and I thank you that she's going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
you,
Father. Amen. All right. That's done deal. Okay. Anyone else? Can you see Matthew sitting there eating in front of all of them? Jackie, too. I'm telling you the truth. Okay. Yeah, I see that, Jackie. All right. Anybody else got a testimony? Praise report?
Asked Brother Rob what he ate today while he was hanging curtains here.
Okay.
But I've got to come back to you.
All right. What are you doing, Judy? I see you every now and then, your face sticking out there. Yeah, look at you. What are you doing? Oh, is that Sue? That's Sue. Uh-huh. See you over. What are you doing? Something? Cooking? What you got?
She went downstairs.
Oh, okay.
She went down the stairs to the basement. She's probably going to go get Judy.
Oh. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or praise report or would like to pray about something? Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
Well, as y'all know, we went through this week-long trial. Tribulating trial. And for the first couple of days, you know, it was kind of easy. The first day was easy because I'm used to fasting a lot, you know, at work. And I just work through it. And the second day was a lot harder. And, you know, I ended up using a few sick days to stay at home so I wouldn't have to work. But on the morning of the sixth day, I was I had like stomach pains like the day before, but I mean it's not really bad stomach pains. They're just, you know, they're kind of hunger stomach pains, and then they go and they come back. You know how hunger does that, you know. It'll sit there and play with you. But anyways, so that morning my stomach was starting to bother me again, so I was like, you know what? This has got to go in Jesus' name. And So a little later, I sat up in bed. All of a sudden, I got this feeling, oh no, I gotta run to the bathroom. So I started calling Earl. And it was a deliverance that I received, because one of the things that I knew, it was a deliverance. When I throw up, normally I have to sit next to the toilet for a while, even if when I stop, to make sure my body's like, okay, you're not going to do this again, or you're going to do this again. You know, normally it's undecided. Well, at the point where I threw up the last time, I immediately knew I was done throwing up. That was it. I flushed the toilet, washed up and everything, and that was just like something I've never done before, So I knew it was deliverance, and I just felt a whole lot better. I mean, obviously my stomach felt better, but spiritually, I just felt like this weight was taken away. Like, I was freed from something. And so, I just wanted to give a little testimony on that. Plus, I know a lot of you probably felt this, but you really take a lot of things in vain. Your water, your food, just everything. I was just realizing that today, after I've been off the fast for probably a day and a half now. Just how many things the Lord actually provides for you every day, and we take it in vain. We don't even realize it. We don't even notice it, or we don't even acknowledge it, But I mean, it's just so awesome how He works in your life, even in the little tiny things. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or prayer request?
Hello, Michael?
Yeah, Gaino. I guess you knew it, Leah.
Yeah, I was just going to give a little testimony also. One of the things that I noticed after the third day, the arthritis that I had in my hand was totally gone. And I was just really praising the Lord, because I hadn't even really thought about it, but it was awesome. And so I'm free of that. And another thing that I thought was kind of cool, I was praying the Lord would give me more moisture. This was, I think, like on the sixth day. And I had weighed myself in the morning, but that afternoon, He just prompted me that I should weigh myself again. And He had given me just a little over half a cup of moisture. I couldn't believe it. It's like our scale measures by tenths. And so I just thought, well, how cool was that, that He moisturized my body. And another thing I think about the water, I know Matthew was talking about the things that we take for granted. And one thing that really came to my mind was I was just really waiting for a time when I could have just a drink of some cool water. And thinking, when I was talking about this, I wasn't thinking that Marlon hasn't been able to drink a glass of cool water for, I would say, it's been some months. And it really makes you think, the things that we take for granted, because everything He drinks has to be very warm. And so I just am believing that it's going to be soon, and He will be able to drink a glass of cool water. And I just praise the Lord for that day. I know it's coming really soon. I'm believing that. Okay, I guess that's all I had to share. But I just thought this past week was an awesome experience, and it was very hard, but it was such a blessing. It was just such a blessing. And I just thank the Lord that He put that forth for us to do, because it's not something that I would have done on my own. And I just thank Him and praise Him. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's right. That's not something I'd do either. But you know, when the Lord commands it, and then he tells you, he says, on the other side of that, here's what's going to happen. And then it's party time, you know. And I tell you, we had such an awesome time last night in fellowship. We stayed till 12 or 12:30. I don't know how long it was. My goodness, it was awesome. Anyway, that's good. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we know
he
that
really
Marley.
Shows,
go ahead.
He just really shows us that his power is made perfect in our weakness. And that's just so awesome just to feel that. It's just, it's a feeling that you really can't even describe in words.
Mm-mm. No, it's all spiritual.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right.
Okay, that's all I had.
All right. Thank you, Gayno. Lord, we thank you that Martin is here. We know he's here. We know that he's going to be eating hamburgers and french fries and lobster and steak and all my goodness, I'm getting hungry. Hey, David. All right. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we know he is, Gayno. We know he is. God's already told us he's here. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leon, I'm sorry. Forgot about you.
Yeah, it was the first 3 days, of course, we were to pray for ourselves in the local UVM or whatever group you might be involved in, and just focus on ourselves and those in close proximity to it. But I just happened to be reading the John G. Lake book, and I came across one of his sermons where he's talking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And I was reading it, and it made like a big impact on me. And it just made me want to humble myself, and I did that. And it was such an awesome experience, you know, just laying prostrate out in front of on the floor and just seeking him and praising him. And I made some major gains through that. And I just want to praise him for that, too. And then a couple of days later, when I was praying for the larger the church and so on and so forth, there was a second story about the seeking the righteousness of God, you know, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And it was just awesome. The whole thing, the whole experience was amazing. And I just thank him for it. I praise him for it. And I think I've made some breakthroughs in that, in my life, in my experience, and got some demons cast out, and things are working better now. So praise God. And I wanted to tell Gayno that Missy also had something wrong with her hand, and we had prayed for it prior to the fast, but she experienced total healing during the fast for her hand, and it was probably a related to whatever you call that stuff that was affecting your hand. So praise God. He's a good God.
Amen. Yep, she was healed. Thank you, Jesus. She gave that to us, was it this morning? Yeah, she gave it this morning. Yeah, go ahead, Leo.
Should I tell them my experience with water? If you remember from last night.
With what?
With water. Getting moisture into my body.
Oh, go ahead.
Do you remember what I told you last night?
Not really.
Oh, that's all right. Anyway, I live in an apartment over the garage, so I don't have a bathroom up here. So I go down every morning to the bathroom, and as I'm washing my hands, I have water on my hands, and I kind of run it through my hair like that, and maybe do it twice so I can get out the cowlicks and so forth. And I started to brush my hair and so forth. But during the fast, when I did that, I'd run my hand through my hair. But by the time I got the brush up there, my head would soak in the water real quick and nourish itself. So, oh, you guys, this is a really tough crowd, man.
Well, tell them about pulling your lips off your teeth.
Yeah. Well, I also would brush my teeth and that way I'd get moisture in my mouth. I didn't swallow the water, but I get moisture in my mouth. And there's a process called sublingual, where people that take medication and herbs and things like that, where you put it under your tongue and it'll dissolve and it gets into your system right away. Well, it seemed to me that I was getting some moisture from that sublingual effect, so I started brushing my teeth 6 times a day just so I so I could get some moisture. No, I did not get that. And then what Michael mentioned there was I woke up Saturday morning and I literally had to pull my upper lip off my teeth because it was stuck to my teeth. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. It was a fun trip.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's over, though.
Yeah. It was a good one. All right. Anybody else got a testimony about the little trial here? iPad Judy. Go ahead, girl.
Well, I'm just going to tell this one thing that I had asked the Lord for. I want a really nice dream. Jesus, I want you to be in it. I don't want any destruction. I just want a real nice dream. So it's real short. So he gave me one of Jesus is coming down through the clouds and just coming and lands on Mount Zion. But he's huge. I mean, tall as the Empire State Building, maybe taller. I mean, he was huge. And then I was thinking, well, maybe he has to be that tall for everybody to see him. But then I kind of looked around and just like I kind of scoped the whole world and I saw everybody on their knees. People were praying, singing, crying, you know, but it was just really cool to see everybody bow down to him. And then it ended, but he was in the dream, like I asked.
Amen. How big was he?
Huh?
How big was he?
Huge.
Huge. Huge.
Bigger than the Empire State Building. I mean, huge.
Okay. All right. Well, we serve a big God, don't
we? Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
I had something a little here.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going through a lot of stuff during this time, I felt like I just wasn't cutting the mustard here during the fasting, and so one time I don't normally just open the Bible and stick my finger down, so I just opened the Bible and my eyes fell down on Psalms 32. So I started reading and it said, "Blessed is he who's transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." When I kept silence, I won't read it all, but when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, which is kind of what I felt like. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, and I thought, oh my, this is a special thing for me here. And it says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid." I said, "I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah." And he goes on. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. But anyway, it's funny how those the moistures are turned into the drought of summer texts kind of pop out at you at a time like that.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Dave. Glad you might it, brother. Okay, anyone else got a testimony about this little bitty old trial we went through?
Michael?
Yeah, Debbie.
I Lord's healed me of these headaches. I haven't had these headaches, and also my wrist too. Have these in my big joint at the thumbs and all down here. It's been bad with arthritis for me, and that's gone. And I didn't share that before, but you know, I didn't even think of it. I just realized tonight, me too. I'm not hurting there anymore. So, yeah.
Praise God. Hashtag me too, huh? Thank you, yeah. Jesus.
Me too.
Hey, what's the deal with the wrist thing? On the third day, I've been wearing a brace always since June. I injured my wrist and possibly broke a bone there, because I had this support thing and it wasn't really helping too much. But anyway, I finally got to the point where I was just wearing the wrist brace at night only. Because it was, I mean, you can't wear gloves in the winter and carry wood and do all this stuff without gloves. And if my glove wouldn't fit over the brace, and you know, it was just this whole thing. So, but anyway, on the, I don't know, third, fourth, somewhere along the night, I was putting the brace on and I thought, why am I wearing this? Because when I was taking a shower, I could actually bend my wrist over my shoulder to get my back a little bit. I thought, well, this is strange. So then I just thought, well, I don't need this brace, I guess. I just stopped wearing it, and it happened kind of gradually, I guess, but it just made me think, well, why is it happening now when I'm going through all this other stuff?
Well, because God loves you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, of course, for all these things, we all, you know, claim that the Lord has already healed it. It's already healed. But, you know, if it keeps manifesting, then all of a sudden it's gone. It's kind of, oh, really?
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for all the healings of the rest that happened this day, these last week. Amen. Okay, anyone else? I got a little testimony. We had to go pray for some folks the other night. Let's see, this was Sunday night. I was in bed, man. Was it Sunday night? Yeah, it was Sunday. And David came up and he said, are you asleep? I said, no, not now. He said, well, so-and-so wants us to come over and pray for him. I said, okay. So I got up and went over there. Now, you know how it was on your seventh day. Well, you couldn't say nothing because your mouth is just plumb dry. Your tongue feels like it weighs about 9 tons. You got a mouthful of cotton in there, and your lips are stuck to your other lips, and you know, anyway, we're in there trying to pray, and I just froze up. I said, I'm wrong, so, but when I went over, I went over and got a glass of water and washed my mouth out, spit it out, went back over. We had to do that a number of times to when we got through. But God was merciful. And despite all of our iniquities, he delivered. And they were set free. Praise God. But you know, that is so... I don't know. It's debilitating, I guess, when you have to talk or you need to talk or you want to talk, I guess, and you can't do it. You know, sometimes it's necessary, isn't it, for us to just shut up and let God do his work. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Matt.
So, one of the things that happened to me on the third day, it wasn't healing, but I was getting into the Word and just really praying in the Spirit, really just getting there deep. And so, you know, I asked the Lord for a word for the fast for me that day. And he gave me Acts 4:13, I believe it was. And so I was reading that. And then I just kind of flipped the page over. And I was looking at Acts chapter 2. And I was thinking about, you know the outpouring of the Spirit and the revival they had there, you know, how that would have been so awesome, you know, to see that. And all of a sudden, it was just like, you know, I heard this voice, you know, in the back of my head saying, revival's coming soon. And it's like, I knew it was coming soon. It's like, I knew it's coming soon. So I was like, oh, wow, Lord, this is so awesome, you know. And just wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I know. Revival's coming soon. Judgment's coming soon. Revival and judgment both are coming soon. Praise God. Anybody else got a testimony about what God showed you during this last week of praying and fasting?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marla.
Yeah, I didn't do the fast. I had been down to practically nothing, but lost a lot of weight before that, so I didn't do the fast. But I'd done the other things, and I asked the Lord if there was something that was hindering me one day, and I opened the Bible, and he took me to Job 29. And Job 29 is where God showed Job. You know, Job was telling him all the good things he'd done for people and all that, and I'd read that before, but when the Lord shows you, you know, I realized, yeah, I do have some pride because I have tried to help people a lot, you know, and do good things, and you think that's good, and it is good, but if you have pride over it, then it's not good. So, anyway, the Lord showed me that, and I repented of it, and I'm just confessing it, just confess your sins to other people, and I'm just confessing my sin to everyone, and believing the Lord has forgiven me.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, there's been a lot of that going on, you know, a lot of people repenting of past things. I'd like Matthew or Leon or Sue or Judy to relate what Charlie was talking about last night. Would one of y'all like to do that? Because it ties right in with what Marlon's talking about.
Are you talking about the angels?
Yeah, what they did.
Oh, I forgot what they did.
Okay. You remember Matthew?
I remember, yeah. So our brother and sister here, Charlie and Linda, they were going to bed. Was this during the fast, Michael? Do you remember? I don't remember. But it might have been during the fast.
It's during the fast, yeah. It's the last few days of the fast, I think.
Okay, yeah, that might be. anyways, so they're going. He was going to bed, and all of a sudden, here comes these four angels into his room, and he said that there's different stages where different more angels came in, but they were all different sizes or different abilities or something like that, and he's got ones that are swooping down, you know, this and that, you know, all through his room. And you start seeing these angels go towards his dark corner room. And they start taking this huge chunk of darkness and start pushing it out of the room. and they're pushing it, and they push that out, and then they'll tackle another piece over here and another piece in the corner over here until our room is completely rid of the darkness. The whole room is lit up. And it says there came down a cloud, like a very thick cloud with lightnings coming out of it. And it was shooting lightning at the darkness too as well, helping get rid of it as well. And then it subsided from that. And then the next night, only a few angels came, and he's like, "Well, come on in," you know. And they came in, they looked around, and they didn't see any darkness, and they were only there for, I think he said, like 20 minutes or something like that. But it was just an awesome experience. And he thought that, you know, the whole thing kind of meant that they're getting rid of the darkness out of, you know, the house, getting rid of the darkness out of the house, you know, getting rid of all the sin, all the flesh, all the, you know. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, that's some of it, most of it. When those angels would come, it'd be like a light come in there, and they'd push that darkness out, and all of a sudden, he said, one of those nights, while all this was taking place, he heard his sister holler, you know, "Whoa!" You know, "Oh, my!" And those angels had come into her room. There were some angels in her room doing the same thing. Said these lights were going through her, pushing the darkness out. And there'd be some more lights coming through, and they'd push the darkness out, and more lights, and more lights, and more lights, you know, pushing the darkness out of their life. Now, this is a very reserved brother and sister. They don't get up and, or they didn't before, praise the Lord with their hands and all of that. Now, they enjoy the praises and all that, but, you know, some people just got bound up a little bit where they don't want to get up and raise their hands and praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Monday night, Charlie got up and he went to dancing before the Lord. Glory to God, it was awesome. Man, I tell you what, that old boy was set free. Glory to God. We've been praying for him for 6 or 7 years now, and he was set free. And Linda too. Both of them were. And it was awesome experience. I wish you could have heard his testimony, and hopefully we can get him to tell it, and we'll get it on the site, put it on the site. But it was an awesome experience for them and us too to hear about it, because we know that's what was being done with us as well. God showed him to tell us, I believe. Yeah, Matthew, go ahead.
You should also get his testimony of when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. That's a pretty awesome testimony too.
Yeah, I can't remember a whole lot about it. You want to try to tell it?
That might have been a couple months back.
Now, this guy's been seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit for 17 years now. I just want to throw it out there before Matthew gets started.
Thank you. I didn't remember that, but thank you. Yeah. Yeah, he's been thinking it for a long time. He said he had it for a little bit, but then he just kind of lost it for a long time. And so at one of our meetings, the Lord wanted David to pray, us all pray for, you know, the refilling or to be filled up of baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we all did. And Linda got filled up and Charlie both got filled up with the Holy Spirit that night. And Linda started speaking in tongues immediately as the evidence. Charlie didn't, but he said, "I just thank you, Lord, that you've already given me tongues, you know, that the evidence, you know, thank you, Lord, for the evidence. Thank you, Lord, for tongues." Even though he didn't speak in it all night, you know, they got after the meeting, you know, they got into the truck, he's still saying, thank you, Lord, for the tongues, you know, thank you, Lord, for the tongues. And so they go home, they go to bed, and he's still, you know, bedtime, he's still saying, thank you, Lord, for the tongues. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. You know, thank you for, you know, your Holy Spirit, you know. And he falls asleep, and he wakes up in the morning, or in the middle of the night, I should say. And he said he starts, this language just starts coming out of him, just flowing out of him. He just starts, he's just going at it for, I think he said, like, at least 45 minutes, anyways. And he's praying in tongues, and he's just having a ball with the Lord and just praising the Lord, and it was a really awesome experience. And of course, he can tell it a lot better than I can.
Yeah, Charlie is a storyteller. By that I mean he tells a story and he builds it up until you're sitting there enthralled about what's going on with him. You know, he's really a good storyteller. And Linda is too. She's the one, if y'all remember on the site, she's the one that was sitting there at work one day, and the boss came by and told her, said, I'm going to put you over here on this other job for a while. I want you to finish that. And she was on the job. She said, oh, my goodness, this is a job that no one ever fulfilled the quota on that particular job. And she was just murmuring and lamenting the fact that, Lord, I can't do that. I know nobody has ever done that. And she said, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to go home, you know. And then she said, no, I'll just go ahead and do it. She's that kind of girl, you know. And so she sat down there, and she just went to praying. And then said, all of a sudden, she backed out of her body, and her body went to work like a robot. He said, in 8 hours, nobody had ever gotten quota on that particular job. And she said, at 4 hours into it, she was through. Now, she's back there. She's kicked back washing herself doing it, you know, doing whatever they had to do, you know, doing all this stuff. Her body was doing it, but she was just kicking back and washing herself do it. And the Lord had put her in automatic gear, put her body in automatic gear, set her spirit back outside of it so she could watch what was going on. And the manager came over there at noon, and she asked him, she said, now what you want me to do? And he got mad because he didn't have nothing else for her to do. He got real mad. She said, what are you talking about? I just finished a job nobody's ever finished before, you know. Yeah, but I don't have anything for you to do. So she got to sit there and watch everybody else work the rest of the day. Oh, that Linda, she's something else, boy. That was cool. Yeah, the Lord uses them in mighty ways. They're great people. Great people. Okay, anybody else?
I got Fraser Park.
All right, Ken.
Well, Friday, it was Friday. I was feeling really dry, but I woke up in the morning. I was really, had a lot of energy. And the Lord let it snow about 2 inches that morning, and it was nice. I went out for a long, long walk, you know, and I would scoop up that snow and put it in my mouth, chew on it until it was slush. I told my Lord, I won't swallow it. So I spit it out. I did that through the whole walk, and it was such a nice day. That Friday was a great day for me. And the Lord showed me a lot of mercy with that cold, wet snow. And that's it.
Hey, man, that's the only thing snow's good for, Ken. I just want to let you know. No, that's like awesome. It. Yeah, well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. Yeah, Dave.
Well, this fast just came out of nowhere, right? Because I wasn't prepared for it, but I already had plans for part of the week. I had taken Thursday off with me and my wife. We were going to go to Chicago, and we wanted to look for a new vehicle for her because her vehicle is getting a lot of miles on it. She's got a Sienna, We wanted to get something a little lower miles, and we've been looking at Auto Trader and everything else, trying to find something that would, you know, I could pay for without taking me over the top, and just, you know, more affordable. Because around here, vehicles, you can get about maybe about the same price, a little more, and about 50,000 more miles on them. They just, you know, around where I live compared to Chicago, I just get a better deal. So I said, okay, we're going to run to Chicago and get the one there. Well, this came up, and so, okay, I'm fasting. And about Tuesday or Wednesday of the fast, it was like I had to work on a machine, and it was all dusty and everything. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that about killed me because I had all this paper dust coming at me and putting parts on. And I got up. I was about ready to die. And I said, man, I got to do something because, like, you know, my mouth was just done, and I felt just whipped. So I said, I'll grab some gum. I started chewing some gum, and that just kind of helped relieve me a little bit, you know. And after that, I started getting something to suck on, just something to get my mouth, you know, to get me through the day. So Thursday, we take off, and it's she gets home, I don't know, and we're going out. She's concerned Wednesday. She says, well, you know, we're supposed to be getting some bad weather. I says, we're going to go. I says, I got the day off. You got the time off. We're going to go. I said, I don't care. Whatever happens. So we get going down the road, and then she starts talking about the weather again. My wife kind of wanted it, you know, there's something that's kind of pressing, and she's concerned about it. She'll say it, you know, she sits in her mind. And I says, I tell you what, you know how you feel funny about this passage, about command ye me. Well, I'm going to show you how that works right now. I said, in the name of Jesus, this weather is going to be cooperative with us. It's not going to bother us. We're going to get through the day. It's going to be a nice day. All right, you see how that's done? This is how we work, command ye me. I said, we just say in the name of Jesus and command it. So it's kind of sleet a little bit and snow and rain, but eventually it just clears up. We're almost about halfway to Chicago, and it gets nicer out, and the roads get dry. And we get to Chicago, and the first place we go to, I thought was going to be great. You know, I wasn't sure. It turned out the vehicles weren't that nice. It was, you know, they would only take really good pictures of a good part of the vehicle, but they didn't show the rest of it where they had maybe little issues, or, you know, it wasn't really prepped well. I thought, oh man. I thought, all this way, because that was like a, you know, by the time we got there, it was 3 hours. And, you know, geez, I don't know, I think we paid about almost about $10 in tolls in a couple of different places by the time we got there, because we had to go not the main way, we went in through Chicago. It was kind of an interesting tour. But she said, well, we still have this other vehicle we can look at. I says, okay, but I really wasn't too prepped for it. And it was, I had a regular dealership, and I already knew it was going to be a little more. So we ran out there, called ahead, and I called up and got a hold of this girl, and her name was Asuela. I said, well, we're coming out. Because she said, what day are you coming out? I said, I'll be there in about 40 minutes. Oh, okay. I'll have it ready for you. So we go out there, and we're looking at this van. And looking over, it looks pretty nice. You know, they do a good job getting it ready. And in the process, the real story is I'm eventually kind of, you know, we're talking to her a little bit. And she's not real tall. And she's Hispanic, but she's just a really pleasant person. Maybe in her 40s. And she starts, you know, I start just talking, you know, a little bit, you know, get friendly with her. And because she just really seemed like a really nice person. And I asked her if she was a Christian. She said, well, yeah. Oh, good. You know, we, you know, go on a little farther. And she starts telling me about her life a little more because I'm pressing, because she said, well, I got a 27-year-old daughter. And then I said, 27-year-old daughter? I says, my gosh. She says, well, yeah, I hold my age well. Well, then she comes out and says, well, I was one of those girls that they talked about when we were younger, you know. I said, oh, okay. So I said, that's fine, because I came from a really rough background. I did a lot of stupid things in my life. And I says, I know just where you're at. And I said, that's fine. And then she starts talking about how, well, she got kicked out of the house because her parents were really strict Baptists. And just, she said it had a really hard life with that. And just, you know, it's not like her whole life was, even though she got things started really early, she also had a really hard life. And I says, well, are you going to church with anybody right now? She says, no. And I gave her one of the UVM cards. I says, well, just look this up. I looked this up. And I said, you know, Jesus came to save sinners. I says, and then I thought, well, he came to save people that really need a savior. You know, I gave her that talk, and she was listening, and going along with it. And then it came time, we got the money out because I decided we're going to buy the vehicle. I told them what I'd pay, and they agreed with that, you know, because they first were a little higher than that. And I said, no, I'll give you this. They said, okay. So get the money out. We go over there. She's got the money, and then this woman standing there behind us, all of a sudden she's leaning up against the door, and kind of, I looked at her, she looked at me, and we looked at this woman, she said, are you okay? She said, my back's bothering me. I said, well, let me be right back. I went and grabbed the chair so she could sit in something in this hallway rather than stand because her lower back was bothering. I just said, well, ma'am, are you a Christian? She says, well, yeah. I said, well, would you mind if I pray for your back, pray for you? She says, well, sure. Okay. So she pulls forward, and I prayed over her back, and I commanded the pain to go, and I says, well, how's it feel now? Well, let me do it again. I commanded it to go some more. But, you know, she's, you know, you get people that have never been around that. So she wasn't really receiving it. Kind of was, but kind of wasn't, kind of, you know, wasn't totally on board with me. And she says, well, you know, thanks for the prayer. I says, no, I tell you what, you just don't let go. You don't let go for what we pray for. You and I agreed it's got to go. So it doesn't matter. It's going to go. So we continue with our things, and the money gets counted, and the vehicle's mine now. And we got to do the paperwork. And, you know, I passed the good goodbye to the lady. I says, just don't give up. It's going to go. You watch. It's going. I don't know how that turned out. But the real story was just the idea that I was able to, Consuela, you know, had such a hard life, and her husband, she got married, remarried again. And her husband, about 14 years ago, and probably about 3 years ago, three and 5 years after that, her husband was a Marine, and she met this guy. And he was over in Iraq, and he got hurt, and he got disabled. He became a disabled vet because he had a lot of bad back surgeries. I think he probably had an IUD, and one of those IUD accidents where it blew up and everything else. And so his back is all tore up, and he's got, you know, he had to have multiple surgeries because the first one didn't work out, and they had to do this and that, clean this up, get this working. And he basically came from a vegetable state on his all these pain pills, and he couldn't even move when she finally got home. And she had to work through that and get through the therapies. And it was just, she said she would just go in the shower because she ended up basically having a husband, a full working, available, everything husband to a vegetable. The guy couldn't hardly do anything, and he had to stay downstairs and on all these pain pills. And she'd have to, you know, be his nurse. And then she's taking care of the kids. And she's working. She said she'd go in the shower in the morning, and she would just turn it up and turn on, just cry, because he would get really anxious and mad because he couldn't do things, and, you know, he was really difficult to deal with, and she'd just cry in the shower, but make it so that she couldn't. That's the only time she'd show that she was down, because otherwise she'd leave the shower and she'd be really up and happy. And I, you know, she just had a rough life, and it felt good to me to be able to minister a little bit, talk about the Lord, make her feel good about talking about the Lord. She said she wanted to come to the website and check it out, and I said, that's great. But I said, you know, and this is a website where it's what kind of denomination? It's not. I says, it's a fellowship. They're not going to ask you for any money. They're not going to ask me for any money? No. I said, just come. So, and when we were leaving there, the sun's out, you know, it's really bright and nice and shiny. And look at it, a beautiful day. The weather was nice. We went and visited my niece real quick because she was about 15 minutes away and saw her. And, you know, it was nice for her to see us because she doesn't get very many people to come visit her. And her husband live over there. And he's gone because he works for the government. He was on a road trip. And so it was nice for her to stop by and visit. Then we drove home, and the whole day was beautiful. You know, it was sunny out. I mean, the Lord just took and kicked the weather out. It was just, that was my day for Thursday.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Yeah, you want to pray for that girl?
Yeah, I do. Her name's Asuela, because it took me multiple times to get that one down. Asuela. Father, thank you for allowing us this divine opportunity, this appointment to come and see her. and to minister to her. It wasn't about buying the car. It was about bringing you back in her life and bringing that desire in her heart and letting her see me pray over somebody and see, wow, it's nice to see this again. This demonstration of the Christian attitude of loving others and just fellowship. Father, put that desire in her heart to have that, to come back to you, to come back into the sheepfold, Father, to be amongst other Christians. I know she had a hard life. Father, she mentioned that her daughter was gay, and she mentioned that she thought maybe her son might be gay, but she was all right with it. Well, Father, I know I didn't say anything, and I wasn't going to say anything bad about it. But I will say, Lord, I want you to come into their hearts and straighten them out, get them back on the path where your kingdom's opened up to them. Let them see what you're all about. Help them with coming back in and getting deliverance, getting healings. I mentioned about forgiveness, Father, how she needs to make sure she doesn't have an unforgiving heart towards her parents. Lord, I ask that you bring that repentance and that forgiveness that she needs to have. There's bitterness there. And also to start helping removing these curses that have come on her and her family because of the hardness that she's going through. And life can be like that, especially if you start out early and maybe on the wrong foot. Lord, I know she desires to be with you like we all do. And I pray that you bless her and come back into our life, and she hears that call to come back. Thank you, Father, for bringing your children back into the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for the work you're going to do in Consuela, Lord, or whatever the name is. And, Lord, we thank you that her whole family is going to come into it, and her husband's going to be healed because she's going to read the book, The Real Good News, and understand that she does have the power of God behind her. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
That's strange enough. I mentioned that she should hear the real good news when she's there.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Hey, Stephen. How you doing, buddy? Awesome.
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, yeah. I was just thinking about, actually Sunday, before the fast was announced, I was thinking, you know, it seems like it's time for a fast. And there's a little fellowship of people here that we gather with, not affiliated with UBM, just believers in the area. And they were talking about having a fast starting a week after ours started. But then I came home and I saw the email. I thought, you know, this just seems like the right thing to do right now. So I believe that it was kind of a witness to the timing of it all. And you know, God does that.
Amen. He sure does. We had multiple confirmations of that fast.
I saw a lot of the emails that came in on that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. So it was God ordained, and I knew if it was God ordained, everybody that went through it was going to make it through it. You know, sometimes I had my doubts, but but no, it was good. It really was. It was an experience that I've never been through before.
Well, I didn't commit to the 7 days of water fast. I thought I could try three, and three for the good, four for the greater, you know. So I thought, well, I'll see, because I had never really gone more than one day without water. So I was able to do that and then go for the food, you know. That was a little easier to do. But I think it was really neat knowing praying against praying for the Passover, basically. We don't know the timing of things that are going to come. I don't necessarily know that they're going to be next week or next month. You know, I always think they're going to be sooner than they are, and they always tend to be longer than, because our idea of a little time and God's idea of a little time is different, you know. I know the long range plan, and when things happen, we'll be we'll have God has brought us through experiences and we'll be ready for it when it comes. So so I think it was really neat to have a little fast like this.
Amen. It was timely. I've only done a 3-day no water fast. Thought I was going to die then, but boy, after I did this 7-day, I could do anything, man.
Wow.
All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Stephen. Malcolm here.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Good to hear your voice. That's a good view call.
Yeah, we need to talk sometime on the phone. I don't have my radio got moved to the basement when I left, so.
Oh. No, I
don't have an antenna that works anymore.
No, but I can also just call you on the phone sometime.
Yeah, it might be easier.
I've been anxious to do that.
Stephen, he's been working on his antenna for 6 or 7 years now.
Who, me?
No, it's probably 22. but believe me, it's this could be a virtual antenna farm, man. It's got so much acreage. I mean, I could be doing rhombics and...
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, do your big old rhombic out there. There you go.
Aiming right toward Tennessee.
Yeah, there you go. First thing you got to do is just get one up. That's what you need. Put a dipole up there and hit it north and south.
Or just a long wire.
Yeah, put
a
long wire.
I was going to say that for people that, without saying too much, I mean, this is was pretty serious, this fasting thing last week. For some, I don't know how many people went through this, but I got threatened with calling 911 and being taken to the hospital for hydration. And then after that, they take you, this is common. I've got 3 nurses in my family, so they all know the procedure. After they hydrate you at the hospital, they take you to the psych institution, and then have a psychologist go over you and grill you as to, for suicide. Because they all verified, every last one of them verified that's what the procedure is for a suicide attempt. That's how they would treat it. So it's pretty, that was almost worse than the fast itself.
Yeah.
So I was praying for the Lord to just keep his hand on me and because I've had hepatitis when I was a kid, so my liver's already compromised, but kidneys shut down, liver shuts down, and the brain starts shrinking, and eventually the blood vessels start popping.
What you calling the curse on yourself for? Quit that.
No, I'm telling you what the statistics are, and and that's how the world sees it. I mean, that actually happens. I had a friend of ours died at the college, one of the colleges I went to. They went on a no water fast and they died from dehydration. But anyway, that's I was fighting this whole thing of the curse that was being pronounced on me. I mean, they didn't mean it that way, but, and I was saying, no, the Lord has promised, well, anyway, I won't get into all that, but. Anyway, I hope they're not listening. Don't tell any of my family this is being recorded.
I've got all of their numbers and I'm recording, so you just get
ready. Oh, thank you.
No.
Anyway.
No. They don't understand, and that's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, family. It was total accident that some of the family found out, and. I had people ready to fly across the country to, it was serious. I mean, they seriously were about to buy a ticket, but they said it cost thousands of dollars for, same time. So that's how worried they were.
Well,
I guess it would be truthful to say you had water and then you by reading the word.
Yeah, I got that living water I'm liking, brother.
Yeah, I did plenty of swishing and but man, it only took a few seconds and you needed to swish again. Oh goodness.
I didn't tell anybody about that it was a dry fast just because of that. I didn't want to worry them. I didn't want to listen to the bad report they'd give to me. So I just, I didn't tell anybody. They knew I was fasting, but not for water also. So I didn't let on either. So it turned out okay. I didn't want to listen to that. You're going to die. You're going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to die. You're going to see the Lord anyway, so don't worry about it.
You're being totally irresponsible by doing this. Believe me.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I had read, not Watchman Lee, but Brother Lee, the guy that was in China. Yeah. Let's see. I think it's Brother Lee. And, he had gone through a couple of fasts. He went up into a 40 days fast, without any water. And everything was drying up to the point that his ears were just crinkling. And I knew at that point that we could do the 7-day fast. But I thought, oh, yeah, fine. Well, we'll just get through this. But like you said, about the third day, I was like, oh, my gosh. The tongue is like, hanging in your mouth. And that's when I started having to suck on things to keep my mouth wet at work, because it was just, getting through daily work, and, that was kind of working me over. I'm glad to hear that everybody else had, maybe get some water in their mouth towards the last couple of days. I was going to the water fountain, throwing water in my mouth, spitting it out, gargling, anything I could just to push me through the day, because I needed something just to pick me up. But I felt like I was failing. I knew I wasn't swallowing, but I think sometimes some water would feel like it'd go down, but I wasn't sure. But I was thinking, I'm trying to hold this fast, but at the same time, I'm trying not to be, make it like I'm cheating to anything. Like I'm trying to, go around this. I was concerned about that. I had a big thinking. I hope I'm not failing this thing. That was a concern from my part, because never went through this before. I don't know if anybody else went through this before, but it was a unique experience, and it was hard for me to feel like I had a closeness to God, but I was trying to break through all the time and feel like, look for things. At one time, somehow in my mind, when I was talking to the Lord, one of the passages he gave me, and I'd have to find it, but it was basically to watch. Watch, It's like, because I was trying to say, well, what's going on now, Lord? Where is it? Watch. Watch. Like basically saying, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. I'll let this go.
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I have a confession to make. When I read it, it said a no drink fast. And I didn't think it included water. So I just did a 7-day water fast. And that's pretty long for me.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody who was, I think it was Stephen or whoever it was mentioning about, I think it's Dave, about Brother Lee. This Chinese Christian brother, Yun, the Heavenly Man, that book, The Heavenly Man, that guy went 75 days without water and without food in prison while he was in prison. He did it as a hunger fast to protest the conditions in the prison. And And what happened was he was praying, and God would do things. And they turned the whole prison around. He was turning guards around, to the Christian belief. And it was an amazing story. But if he can go 75 days, we can go 7, And that's what kept coming back to me, Dave, is if that Chinese guy can do that, I can do 7 days. Well, now, about the sixth or seventh day, I was beginning to wonder, you know. That's all right. It was a unique experience and one that I'm going to treasure because of all the, like Leon was talking about, all the things that God cleansed out of me as well, you know. And it's good. It's good. You know, I was talking a little bit about it earlier. The Lord just placed in my heart a lot of love that wasn't there before. Just a hardness, you know. You know what I'm talking about. But he took that hardness out of me and placed love in there, even for people that might have before irritated me a little bit. There's no irritation there anymore. It's all love, you know. God does things like that for people who are obedient to his word. And it was just an awesome experience. Yeah, Leah. I even love old Leon now.
Well, I experienced that same thing. I wanted to share that with you. But what I was experiencing is that even though there was a lack of moisture in my mouth and in my body, I think that God had reservoirs right behind my eyes because there was never a lack of tears. I never had any dry crying or anything like that. I mean, the tears really flowed when I was with the Lord, and it amazed me how much moisture was really in my body still, and that God would bring that out. But I agree with you, Michael. I've got a closer relationship with the Lord, and I've got a love for my brethren, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody accomplish everything that the Lord has for them, you know. And I don't hold any animosity about anything, and it's a good deal.
Yeah, it was a good experience. What about you, Denny?
Yeah, excuse me. I want to go back to the angel thing for a minute before we talk about the fast. But well, I remember when Charlie, you know, experiencing this, and this was going on for a couple of hours, I think. And I remember he yelled up. Now Charlie and Linda are an older brother and sister, not just a brother and sister in the Lord. They're actually a brother, sister in the natural. And, but so Charlie yelled up to Linda, "Linda, we got angels," you know. Then she yelled back, "They're up here too," you know. So the fact that both of them were experiencing it was really pretty awesome, you know, and they're credible, very credible people. But the fact that they were rolling out these big, whatever balls or of darkness or whatever it was out of the house, that would be awesome in itself. But then he was wondering what is all this about. But I was wondering about if, you know, in the warfare that's coming up that we're going to be engaging in, if we're not going to be able to dispatch angels more and have a more of an understanding of that. Because I know we pray that quite often, that God would send angels into a situation. You know, in one angel, I mean, he can defeat an army of, you know, 185,000. Back in that one instance, it's like, you know, who's a match for an angel? No army on earth. But anyway, but I was, you know, just, I guess, something to ponder, you know. And I want to search the scriptures more about what kind of authority we have. I know God dispatches angels, you know, and they're ministering spirits sent by God what does it say it in Hebrews? Or to help those who are heirs of salvation in Hebrews 1. And then, okay, on the fast, you know, I think we were so blessed on the seclusion part of it all, of being secluded, you know, that was an emphasis on there, not being out and about and doing normal activities, but as much as you could to restrain from all that. And so we pretty much stayed in. We didn't go out the first 3 days. I did go out. We did go out a few times. Had to pay rent. Had to do some of that kind of stuff, but it was just that seclusion, and then mixed with the not eating and that, it was, and you know, you don't realize how much thought and how much effort you give towards either buying food, preparing food, getting food, you know, it's breakfast, and then sometimes you're thinking about lunch, and you think, it's like, it's pretty constant, you know. But to set all that aside, and then to be in seclusion with the Lord and just seeking Him, that was such a blessing. I think kind of the highlight of it is that, because God responded to our efforts, you know, and that we were supposed to do this in faith. One of the emphases I know, and you know, it's I was to read a couple of lines that I had underlined. This is a fast primary of seclusion and going to a deeper and higher place in the Lord. And you know, that was one of the primary purposes. The purpose of this fast is to exercise yourself to focus solely on the Lord and have no care for the flesh, and to go big in the area of faith. It says to go big or go home, but the emphasis is for us to go big in the area of your faith, and it will take bold faith. And then, of course, and it says to meditate on this, on it, and to be led by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit in the whole thing. But so it was. I think everyone was so blessed, and you can tell by the rejoicing on Monday night, just such a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You know, when you get a bunch of people together, and now I believe Leon, you set up about 5 or 6, so what time was it? Yesterday, about 6 o'clock, over at Jeff and Sandy. Come in, Leon. Yeah.
Well, I got over there around 4:30 and started preparing.
Setting up, yeah. What time people start coming over there?
Well, they started coming at 5 and dribbling in. Actually, Charlie and Linda got there at 4:30 too.
Oh, so from 4:30 to 12 or 12:30, you can see what happened. Now, generally, we'll get there at 6 and be out of there by 10. But this was different. This is God ordained. When we got there, of course, you know, everybody ate a meal, and but we danced before the Lord. We sang before the Lord. It was just awesome. God was there. And the testimonies that people had, it was just phenomenal. And I wouldn't have traded it for any other kind of enjoyment out there, because we had a blast. And it was awesome. I wished everybody could have been there. Anyway, it was awesome. Judy, go say something. iPad Judy, coming on.
No, it's
oh, so, okay. That's fine.
I was just enjoying everybody's testimonies. I think those are great, you know. I was going to give a couple, but I don't know how much time we have left. But it was interesting. This is a little one.
We got plenty of time. Go ahead.
Huh? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I said we got plenty of time. You go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, a lighter note, my grandson, he wanted to get on the outreach before, but he never got a chance. He just, I don't know if he never got a chance or he just didn't have the gumption or the boldness to do it, but I gave Michael his email address and number, phone number and everything, and he had it already connected. Well, I'm getting, you know, I'm on this fast, first day of my fast, and I'm getting this text from him, and he's saying, "Are you fasting?" I'm like, "What? How did you know?" You know. And here, he said, "Well, I got an email." So, you know, I was really surprised that he got this email, and I forgot that Michael had had his number and had had the email address. And so he went on this is my 19-year-old grandson, and he went on this fast for 3 days with water. You know, he just had water only. And I asked him if he ever went on a fast before, and he says he's tried to before, but it just didn't work out. Time he went on for 3 days. He said he may go on for the full thing, but it would be just water. But he ended up stopping. But he said maybe a couple, maybe next week he'll do 4 days. He didn't know. But I thought that was really something new for him, you know. But you know, this whole fast, what I really got majorly about it is, you know, relating to our own relationship with the Lord, and how when I was in that fast, when I was able to hear, because there's another part of that, but I noticed how much when we put our flesh down that much, that flesh can't speak anymore. Satan can't use it. And so it just heightened my spiritual walk with the Lord in a way of I could really hear him once I got past that 3 day thing. Cause the 3 days I started out with a really bad headache, caffeine headache, really bad. They make you sick to your stomach. And I had a really bad headache, sick to my stomach, couldn't hear from the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to burn and I want to be burned, but I can't hear. I just, you know, dealing with this headache. And when I said to him, I said, oh, Lord, I don't have a burden. I want to have a burden, you know. And I asked for a word, and I opened up the Bible and put my finger down. Are you going to test the spirit? And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to test the spirit. So I said, Lord, forgive me. I do have a burden, but I don't know what it is. Tell me. Show me. And so then this person's name came to my mind, and I thought, okay. And there was something that happened about a month ago with this person. And I thought that things were taken care of. But in the same token, I kind of wonder, there's something that's not quite right, but I don't know how to take care of it. Lord, you got to show me. I don't know what it is. You know, so long story short, make it short, he ended up bringing me to have the strength to call this person, talk to this person, and this was a believer, and get the thing straightened out so that there was not going to be any animosity between each other, because there was a problem about a month ago. And so you know how the scripture talks about offenses and stuff. Well, this was, you know, kind of related to that in a way, but the Lord knew that it wasn't remedied, and I had a feeling, but I didn't know how to take care of it. But He did, and He gave me the strength to call this person, and we talked, we got that hashed out. I said, I don't want to have any unforgiveness. I don't want you to have any unforgiveness. I want to love you, and I know you want to love me. And we just really had a really good conversation. But then at the end, I said, just pray for me that the enemy would not come against me, because I battled with rejection for a long time, and rejection was trying to come in again. And I said, please pray for me that I would not, that the enemy cannot use this against me and bring rejection in. And so this person did. And I felt that release big time. I felt a release. And then after that, the next day, that morning, I was like, I can really hear from the Lord. No more headache, no nothing. So it was a blessing. So. And thank you, Michael, again, for getting hold of my grandson.
Okay. Praise God. Well, I couldn't have done it unless you give me a number. And that's, of course, I just add them right automatically to the list.
Yeah, it was automatic. That was good.
Amen.
Because I told him, I said, you're part of the family, whether you realize it or not. You are. Because, you know, he got baptized down here, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he feels like he's out there nowhere, you know, nowhere with anybody. But I'm believing there's going to be a time he's going to come and be coming and staying.
I'm okay. We're looking forward to seeing him.
Amen.
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 Hi, Julie. All right.
Yeah.
Anybody else on? Joe and Nora. I see y'all made it through in fine fashion. Praise the Lord. Did y'all have a big old hamburger? I know y'all got to eat before we did.
No, we didn't. We didn't start at midnight. We waited for morning. Oh. So we stopped about the same time as you guys did.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Y'all did okay, didn't you?
It was such a blessing. I've never done this before. And the minute I got the email, I just got inspired and such faith from the Lord to do it. I never got any hunger pains. I was a bit thirsty. I missed water like you couldn't believe. Well, you believe me. But it was such an amazing time. It was just a blessing. And Sunday, just before we break the fast, the next morning, Sunday afternoon, we went outside and it started raining. And it was such an amazing sign of God's blessing and God's providence. It was out of this world. God did such an amazing work in our lives and in our marriage and just lifted us up spiritually, and He builded our faith, and we just had this, the Lord just built my faith that if He can do this for me, such a supernatural providence in doing this for us, that is everybody telling us it's dangerous and everything, and God gave us this faith and carrying us through and providing for us. He can do anything for us. And it was like the 7 days we wait and then we feast was like the 7 years that's coming, and then we're going to have a feast with the Lord. So it was awesome, awesome. We just praise Him for it. It was absolutely wonderful.
Yes, it was.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the same revelation that Ken sent me. It was awesome, and it kind of reminded me the same way, you know, the 7 days of fast. It's the 7 days of the tribulation, and at the end we have feast. Yeah, it's awesome.
And during the fast, the Lord gave me that word that Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll have, He's the bread that came out of heaven, and if you believe in me, you'll never thirst. And it was really, when you guys were talking about how you suffered, I felt like something was wrong with me, because I never ever got hungry. I thirst. I was seriously thirsty, but I never got hungry at all. No hunger pains, nothing. The Lord just took it away from me. And then just before we broke the fast, our stomachs, both of our stomachs started grumbling as if it started giving up for the feast the next day. So it was really amazing. We praise the Lord. It was such a blessing. And the blessing that we have for doing it together is really amazing, because the friends of ours, they couldn't do it together. Because the guy doesn't want to fast with the lady, so we were really blessed in being able, not having kids running around and having to be fed and everything. So we're really blessed. We praise the Lord. We're so thankful and grateful.
Amen.
And prayed for all guys being far, and we missed you. We wished for a translation though, so we could do the feast.
Well, we're looking for y'all showing up any day now. Praise God. That was awesome.
I never got hungry either.
You never got hungry? Nora,
I never got hungry either.
I saw you.
Hungry at all.
I was more.
That wasn't a sandwich.
Okay. I didn't have a sandwich hidden under my shirt. No, I'm kidding. I did desire water, but I never got hungry.
I didn't get hungry either. I was more thirsty. I could have taken a big old chocolate milkshake any time during that fast and been fine. I'll tell you a little story about that chocolate milkshake. David said, you know, the way we ought to come off this thing is take us a boost. That's a, what do you call it, Leon? Energy drink.
Nutritional drink.
It's kind of like a milk kind of a drink. They said, we'll put a glass of water in it and we'll put some ice cream behind it. I said, oh, that sounds good. And so we did that. Now I'm sitting here drinking tea. I'm pouring tea down me like it was, I was a, you know, bucket with a water faucet going at it. And, they're in there making the milkshake. And so, oh man, I got that milkshake in my mouth and it was so good, y'all. I'm telling you, it was so good. Oh my God. It was so good. And I drank that bad boy. And I said, you know, I think I'll have me another one. Now, you got to think about what I'm doing here. 7 days, no food, no water, no nothing. I'm going to have another one. And so I get another one. And I got through with it, and it tasted good, y'all. I'm telling you, it was so good. But my stomach didn't care much for it. So I had to run to the bathroom and lost it all. Ever drop. Dave said, you want me to make you another one? I wanted to hit him. But no, I said, I think I can make it all right with just water. That taught me a lesson, boy. Don't be doing that.
Well, did it taste as good? Did it taste as good coming up as it did going down?
Let me mute him. You're muted forever. You know, I almost made it to the bathroom. Oh my! But I cleaned most of it up. Leon said. Oh my! Yeah, well, I wasn't the only one either out of this house that did that. We had another incident, too. Okay, but that was good. That was really good, I tell you. I can't say I enjoyed the natural part of it, but the spiritual aspect of it, like Noah said, was fantastic. It was just out of this world. And I wouldn't trade it for anything, Compton. I'm glad it's over.
Michael, I was just going to say, I was hardly in a mood for feasting. I could hardly drink a little bit of water at a time for hours. It's probably about 12 hours after I started drinking water, I was able to get some juice down. But I was in no mood for feasting for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I was just trying to get hydrated again. Anyway, yeah, I lost about 25 pounds.
What they were telling me was that, and some of you nurses might be able to verify this, that I had filled my little stomach up and it had come up through my esophagus and was going out into my lungs. I said, well, I don't believe that. But, you know, it all came out anyway. It didn't make no difference. So I don't know. You can drink too much. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Nora, go ahead.
Sorry, can you all hear me fine?
Yeah.
Can you understand me?
Perfectly. Right. I understand you perfectly, girl.
Wonderful. We prayed for the gift of tongues so that you can understand us. I just want to share a wonderful dream that the Lord gave me the morning of the fifth day. Yes. I dreamt that I was a male And I was, the board of a company was, every board member was in my body. We were, all of the board members were in my body. And I dreamt that there was this shrewd old man that was running, like he was like a overseer in the company, but there was trouble somewhere. And I said to him, were you suspended yet? And he said, no. I said, well, in that case, you're fired. And I pulled, I'm left-handed, but in the dream, I took books and I pulled out the first sheet out of every book. And I said, in this case, and in this case, and in this case, I named about four cases. And I said, in these cases, you are fired. And he was so upset. And then he said to me, strangely enough, he said to me, you, very sarcastically, you must have a good Christmas. And I said, well, you too, but mine's going to be better than yours. And that was the end of the dream. So I fired the old man.
Thank you, Lord. Old man's gone. Amen. That's a good dream, too. Amen. Excuse me. Okay. That old man's gone. I kicked him out, too. All right, anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano.
I was just going to relate that we have some people in the medical profession in our family, too, and we had not told anyone about what we were doing, but somehow they found out, and he's an EMT, and he was, oh, my goodness, he just read me the Riot Act. And he called like every night for like three nights to see how I was. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm not counting on my strength. I am counting on the Lord's strength, not mine. But boy, he was telling me about all my organs that were going to fail and I was going to basically not make it. And it was at a time when I really didn't need to hear that because I was feeling rather weak. And I just had to really cast down all those thoughts that were put into my mind with what he was speaking to me. But I really believe the Lord is going to use that, you know, to draw him to himself so that he will see that the Lord's word is true. And so I see it as a positive now. At the time, it kind of upset me. I told Marlon, I said, I didn't need to hear that. But anyway, I didn't receive it and it all was fine. But I had that experience too. And they don't want to give up. So that was all I wanted to share.
Well, I know, you know, and you hear that, and you want to do it on the eighth day. You want to call them up. Don't do this. Don't do this. You want to call them up and say, na, 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 na. You know, you don't want to do that.
Well, our daughter called the last time, and she wanted to know how I was doing. I said, I'm doing just fine because I'm not counting on my strength. I don't have the strength to do this, but the Lord does, and his power is made perfect in my weakness, and she never said a word. So
amen.
It all worked great.
Yeah, praise so, God. We have a good God that brings us through all of these trials. Thank
he
you,
sure
Jesus.
Does. I just agree with everyone who said this was really a blessing because it surely was for me, too. I just... really am thankful that the Lord brought this about. And
amen.
I guess amen. All I need to say is so bless everybody. Yep.
Well, while you're still on here, Marlon, I'm going to mark the date. This time next year, you're going to have to do one. No, just kidding. Just kidding. All right. No, we love you both. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you said that, you know, you saying that the doctor that originally told me I had cancer, he told me, you know, I told him I'm not going to do any of the doctor stuff, and he told me, well, you won't be here a year from now, he told me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he said I had a really aggressive cancer, real aggressive, fast-growing, and he said, you won't be here a year from now.
He didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know our God.
Yeah. I know. I had already told him I wasn't going to do this.
Amen. Amen.
But anyway, I'm believing that I'm going to go back in there and be able to say, well, I'm still here.
Yeah. Na, 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 na. My God's bigger than your God. I mean,
you gotta say, okay, what's your next prognosis?
Yeah. Well, praise God. I love it when God's people come together and they're telling about the good things of the Lord. So awesome. Julie, how about you, girl?
Hi. I'm
hello.
Alive.
Yeah, I see you are.
I'm alive. I'm more alive today than I was yesterday.
Amen.
For sure. Yeah, the Lord gave me supernatural strength several days during the fast. I had to work Monday through Friday, and I don't know about any of the other ones, but I had on probably like Thursday and Wednesday and Thursday night for sure. I only had like 3-4 hours of sleep. I just couldn't sleep. And I'm like, God, you're going to have to help me. I got to get up and go to work. You got to wake me up in the morning. You got to get me out to work. And I had like Friday was a really hard day. And I had some little trials at work, but Lord really gave me a lot of grace and, helped me through it. I had been awake since like 4:30 in the morning, and I had to end up working till like six something, and I was just so dragging on Friday, and I just kept praying and asking God to strengthen me and help me. And I wasn't real hungry either. God really gave me a lot of grace. I didn't have a lot of hunger pain, or didn't have a lot of, I only had headache in the beginning at like the first day or so, the fast, and it wasn't that bad. But I had to serve food at work probably. I was either ordering food for other people, serving food for other people, cleaning it up, you know, putting the leftovers away, and all these things. I saw so much food, and it didn't start bothering me until Friday. I'm like, oh, it looks so good. Lord help. And then just physically gave me a lot of strength. I had to go. Well, I didn't have to go. But Friday night, it was kind of, had been praying for rain, both spiritual and natural rain here, because it's been so dry. And there was rain in the forecast, and it kept diminishing, and it kept getting pushed back later and later. And it was like 1:30 in the morning Friday. And I'm like, Lord, where's the rain? You promised me rain. And it was about 1:30 in the morning, and I hear it raining outside. And I'm like, yes, that's rain. I went outside in my bathrobe, my slippers, sat outside on my porch, looking up at the rain, just letting it hit all over my face. This is more of a real drizzle. It wasn't real heavy. And I'm like, you call this rain here in my cotton mouth? I'm trying to argue with the Lord here a little bit. Lord, this is rain? Oh, sorry. Anyhow, he started getting a little bit heavier rain. And it wasn't a lot, but it was a little heavier. And then he got me up in the morning Saturday, and he prompted me to go for a walk. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go for a walk, you know. I'm so glad he did. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful out Saturday morning. Air was crisp and clean. The birds were singing. And I just felt the presence of the Lord and just his, I just felt joy. I just felt such joy walking. And I don't know how long I walked. Usually when I take the walk, it's about a half an hour or so. I don't remember how long it took, but it's like he gave me grace to walk every step, because the way back is like, I was so dragging. I'm like, okay, Lord, you got me out. You got to get me back home. And I'm on the second story, and I had to climb up the stairs. I'm like huffing and puffing, and I got on the couch. And I just collapsed for about 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, that was fun. And he did the same thing for me on Sunday. He prompted me to go out for a walk. Oh, I forgot, on Saturday morning, too, when I was walking, it was kind of raining a little bit. It was Sunday morning. I think it was Sunday morning. It was Saturday. It was raining a little bit in the morning. Went out for a walk, and it rained again a little bit Saturday afternoon. That's right. And then, so Sunday, I went out for a walk, too, and he gave me a lot of grace there to do that. So I was having trouble with just body aches. I couldn't sit still for very long. I was getting body aches in my back, my hips, my legs. I had to stretch because I think I couldn't sleep because I couldn't get comfortable. And I would stretch my legs out and stretch. It was just trying to keep, you know, I couldn't rest. It was just restlessness, a lot of it. You know, I'm just praying through it. But he really did give me a lot of supernatural strength throughout the whole week. I was just amazed. And, yeah, the presence of the Lord and just being able to see how powerful he is, that, you know, no, who could do that, you know, 7 days, no food or drink, you know, only by his grace. He was just awesome. He was really awesome.
Amen. He, you know, Julie, he orchestrated this with all of us at the same time. He knew what, he knew my legs was cramping up that night. And what did I do? I got up and prayed. That's what he wanted me to do. My legs were cramping up in bed. I couldn't sleep. Might as well get up and party. You know? So that's what we did.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Get ready, y'all. Get ready. No, T.D. Jakes used to say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Glory to God. We're going to have us. You know, God's fixing to do something. When he does this something, we're going to be in a position to help out.
Has he revealed anything about, you know, what's next? I know, I kind of know what he's been showing me. I just kept getting more words about judgment on the apostate. And
That's exactly what we've been getting, is judgment on the apostate, judgment on the deep state, judgment on all the stuff, you know, that's coming against the Christians. But the main thing is judgment against the apostate. Send the people out away from the apostate dead churches. God's people. And that's why he wanted us to pray for them. Pray for all of the people that were his chosen that are in the apostate churches, that God would awaken their spiritual eyes and ears. Amen. I believe we're fixing to see a revival here. Not only that, I think the anointing of the man child is coming very soon. And not only that, well, y'all know the sequence of events. Everything's going to fall in place here shortly. Okay, anybody else? Excuse me.
Yeah, Michael, I have something to share again.
All right, go ahead, Debbie.
So on the first day, I asked the Lord, later on in the day, I asked the Lord for a word for all of us for the fast. And I wanted to share it Friday night, but I didn't bring my Bible, forgot it. And I wanted to share it this morning, and I brought the wrong Bible. So I'm sharing to everybody here. So it was a 2 Samuel 2, verse 5 through 7. And so this is what he gave me. 2 Samuel. The Lord bless you for showing his kindness to Saul your master. Oh, I'm going to start.
What was your question for this verse, Debbie?
Just ask the Lord for something for all of us, for me and all of us. Okay, so I'm sorry, I can't see well. See, it's in 4, starting when David was told that it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul. He sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul your master by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul your master is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed the king over them." And I just felt the Lord, and I was doing so much on this time of repenting and asking God to bring so many things to me I needed to repent of and give over to him, attitudes and so much. And I'm just giving things to him because I want to be pure and I want to be repentant of everything. And so I felt this was a good word. Saul, the meaning of the flesh, is dead. He is dead. So I too will show you, King David, show you favor because you have done this. Now then be strong and brave, for Saul, your master is dead. So we get to slay that master, that old flesh, and the house of Judah has anointed over them, so the man-child can rise. So I thought that was pretty good verse that he gave me. And
I thought it was good, too. Praise God. Yeah.
It's like Nora said, fire the old man.
Yeah, that's what made me
think. Absolutely. You're fired. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want to thank everybody for the testimony tonight and relating what God has done with you. It's been awesome for me. I know it has been for y'all. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in all of our lives, Lord. Just like Charlie and Linda, we know that those angels have come in and pushed out darkness out of our lives and made us into the people that you want, Lord. Lord, put it in us to stay the course. Put it in us, Lord, to keep on keeping on. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and sets a watch before our mouths, Lord, to only speak as an oracle of God. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. Lord, we thank you for infusing us with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in this end-time scenario that's coming up to be a witness to all the lost out there, Lord, to all your chosen. And that'll draw me in, Lord. This is going to be the greatest time in the history of man for the time to increase the kingdom. And Father, we thank you for the wisdom and discernment to be able to do what you want us to do, Lord. Don't let us stumble anymore, Lord. Don't let us do anything other than what you want us to do. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the love you placed in our hearts for each other. I believe it's, Lord, that you've placed a love in our hearts deeper than a brother or sister. It's a Jesus kind of love. It's an agape kind of love. And I praise you for doing that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us until we come together again Thursday night. And I thank you, Father, for being our guide and our leader. Amen. All right, folks. Good night. Let me get everybody in done here. Okay. Good night, y'all.
Yeah.
Love y'all.